Hi, it's Glenn O'Neill. Today is Wednesday, October 6th, and this is episode 6 of A Close Look at Sanfilippo. We're going to take 10 minutes and go over 5 topics in the world of Sanfilippo syndrome and some of the work we've been doing here at Cure Sanfilippo Foundation. As a reminder, Sanfilippo syndrome is a rapidly degenerative and fatal disease in children, currently with no approved cure or treatment options. So I'd like to start with something that I've never really addressed when I started these podcasts, which is, why am I doing this podcast? What is the purpose? We always have a lot happening in this space, a lot of hard work the families are doing, a lot of fundraisers they're doing, incredible support coming in from around the world. We have new science being funded, new work with biotech partners, advocacy groups, and with the FDA. Every week, a whole lot of different things are going on. And up to this point, we've conducted our partner family update calls about once every 3 months. And of course, you know, we talk and interact with families all the time during those 3 months, whether certain projects or medical questions or discussions, we're always available and in close contact. But our formal update calls to the families were about once every 3 months. For our supporters and donors, we send out emails and mailings, and we usually do that a few times a year, sometimes more often. But for all that's going on, I felt like we weren't able to give folks updates in real time often enough. So one day I was actually browsing Facebook and I came upon another nonprofit who had recently started a podcast. It was Mike Graglia from SynGap Research Fund doing a 10-minute weekly update on all that was going on in his disease and his foundation. And I found myself watching each one of these. I was, you know, very interested in hearing what he had to say and how he was updating his community and supporters. And that's when the light bulb went off and I said, you know, we can do this. We should be doing this. So a big thank you to Mike for showing us the way. This podcast is a great way to get that real-time information out there to anyone who's interested in hearing and to share what we're doing at Cure Sanfilippo and things happening in the world of Sanfilippo syndrome. You know, another benefit is when new families join the foundation, now we have something we can point them to and start them at the beginning of the podcast series so they can begin seeing what's going on, especially some of the recent work that's going on. I never hoped these podcasts would go viral or become a top-rated podcast or anything. We just hope we're being a good resource and providing value to our listeners. And I find this podcast valuable to myself to prioritize and stay focused on what's most important to this mission, which is to fund and drive research to help children as soon as possible. So we hope you're finding these podcasts informational. We're going to keep at it. And just so you know, these are now available on all audio podcast channels as well. So you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, etc. Just search Cure Sanfilippo and you can listen to these on your own time. Next up, I want to update you on how things are going with our big fundraiser this year, the Step Up to Cure Sanfilippo Challenge, which is happening on October 16th. You can join and start today by visiting curesff.org/steps and click on Become a Fundraiser. This is our nationwide virtual fundraiser that anyone can participate in, and it's a good reason to get some personal exercise in, to challenge yourself, and it's all obviously for a great cause. The date again is on October 16th, so we're, just about 10 days away now. We already have 30 campaigns built so far, supporting and in honor of 16 children with Sanfilippo syndrome. Over $12,000 has been raised so far already. If all of the campaigns out there reach their goals, it'll be over $35,000. And, you know, we know that's still a long way to go to our goal of $100,000, but we're going to keep pushing. And remember, a way to join and to support is go to curesff.org/steps. We sure could use your help. Thank you. Next, I want to dive back into the research. We recently co-funded a new research project with Save Mickey Foundation. Mickey is a little girl in Delaware with Sanfilippo syndrome. Delaware's ironically my home state. I've had the pleasure to meet her parents and her family on a couple of occasions. Just great people fighting the same battle that we are. Their family set up a foundation a couple of years ago also to fund research, and we're thrilled to be able to collaborate with them on this project. It's a grant to Dr. Paul Austin at the University of Sydney in Australia, exploring photobiomodulation in a Sanfilippo mouse model. So photobiomodulation, which we'll call PBM, is exposure to certain wavelengths of light that can change cellular processes for the good, for the benefit. PBM is neuroprotective in a number of animal models with certain diseases, and those diseases include retinal disease, traumatic brain injury, stroke, multiple sclerosis, as well as neurodegenerative diseases, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. So this PBM can reduce inflammation, increase expression of growth factors, and improves the survival of neurons. PBM not only helps to protect the neurons from damage, but also can rescue distressed neurons after damage. Most of these studies have also shown that improvements in the behavior of animals after PBM from mobility to cognition. So the study hypothesizes that the potential benefits at certain levels of PBM will result in improved mitochondrial health and function. So mitochondria are the parts of the cell that are responsible for energy production. So these are often damaged and don't work well in neurodegenerative diseases. So if we could improve that, would be a big step. Reducing the inflammatory markers in cells of the nervous system. So reducing inflammation is always a benefit. An increase in synaptogenesis. So basically increasing the number of connections between nerve cells and increased production of inherent molecules that support brain health, like BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factors. Also an improvement in retinal health. And then the researchers believe that basically all of these molecular effects may result in increased motor function, increased mobility, and reduced anxiety-like behavior in the treated mice. So, you know, if we find this to be the case after the research is completed, you know, we're going to work to move this to the next steps of doing a clinical trial of photobiomodulation in children with Sanfilippo syndrome, with funding available, of course. So very exciting research. And again, we're thrilled to partner with Save Mickey Foundation to fund this research. Speaking of funding, we just talked about one research project, which was just over $80,000 in cost. Our foundation is funding projects from $5,000 up to $2 million. So for the past few years, we've had a fundraising goal to raise $2 million each year, and we've had some good success in hitting that. But why so much? Why so much money? Why is so much money needed? You know, and when I got into this, I didn't know a lot of the whys. And, you know, I'm going to explain a relatively unknown reality about the cost of medical research, particularly in rare disease. This explanation was given by Dr. Chris Austin, former director of National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences, NCATS, at the NIH. He was in a presentation discussion with John Crowley, rare disease champion dad and biotech CEO of Amicus. Dr. Austin was explaining the basic costs of rare disease research and how at each main stage, they go up in multiples of 10. So meaning, if you want to fund some basic research starting on an idea, any idea, it costs about $100,000 to get a postdoc to start looking into it, start working on it. You know, one disease, one research idea. To get to the next stage where you're looking at preclinical work to take things further, the cost goes up tenfold to $1 million, all the preclinical animal studies being done. Again, just one research pathway here. You know, to take the research to a clinical trial in children, again, the cost goes up tenfold to $10 million. And to bring this to an FDA-approved treatment, you're looking at $50 to $100 million, another tenfold increase. And we think of all the individual research we're funding, all the ideas these scientists have about combating Sanfilippo, and the costs add up and can be enormous. So certainly, our foundation funds research projects in stage one and stage two, and we even help fund stage three, clinical trial work, and of course, that's with collaborators. But there at stage three and beyond is where the industry and biotech support is needed, as they can generate those types of resources to continue the pathway forward towards approval. The early research our foundation funds is so important. It helps biotechs become more interested in these pathways because our work de-risks these projects for the biotechs. So foundations like Cure Sanfilippo, with supporter funding, play a huge role in getting therapies off the ground. And lastly, now that we're in October, you know, we start to look at the rest of the year and certainly start looking into 2022 as well. So as we look at the rest of this year, we have something important coming up in November, and that's World Sanfilippo Awareness Day, which is on November 16th. This began a few years ago. You know, we already have a rare disease day in February, which encompasses 7,000 plus rare diseases. We have an MPS Awareness Day in May, which includes all the different subtypes of MPS, as well as mucolipidosis. So really consists of 7 different diseases, all with various subtypes. So we thought MPS3, also known as Sanfilippo syndrome, needed its own day of awareness. And that's why we created this. So we focused mostly on this being an awareness and an advocacy day. It's been recognized as an official day of awareness in the state of Ohio. And that's thanks to Jennifer and Brian Kelly, parents of Oliver, who advocated for this and got it through. We're looking to set this advocacy up in other states as well. Also, we're trying to get it recognized at the national level. We've done the Hands of Hope Awareness Challenge on this day in previous years, which is basically people holding hands with the ones they love, taking photos of them and posting them on social media in support of World Sanfilippo Awareness Day. And we're still crafting what our strategy is going to be this year, and we hope to share it on an upcoming podcast. But please mark your calendars, November 16th, World Sanfilippo Awareness Day. It's a very important day for our community. Well, that's our 10 minutes. Thank you again for giving me the space to share this information. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for making the world a better place. We'll see you in a couple weeks.